Rat Pack, where you at?
I just want to lie on the beach and eat hot dogs. That's all I've ever wanted.
Hey, hey, what's going on? It's Tuesday, September 17th. This is The Rant. I'm Jeff. Week three upon us, and week two ended kind of the way it went all along, with a surprise win there by the Atlanta Falcons coming back at the end. No major takeaways from the game other than the A.J. Brown situation, and if you didn't hear that, it was reported Lisa Salter said at the very beginning of the broadcast that A.J. Brown is expected to miss multiple weeks. What is multiple? I'm guessing it's three, and I'll tell you precisely why. The Eagles are 2 weeks away from their bye. They have a week five bye. Multiple weeks. Usually these types of things coincide with a bye. Does Philadelphia absolutely need A.J. Brown right now? It's debatable. But do they absolutely need him in December/January if they make it to January? Well, hell yeah. So get him right. If it means sidelining him here until week six, okay. But if you're an A.J. Brown manager, just be prepared for that. And no, I do not think Jahan Dotson is the answer. I told a lot of people, you know, I wasn't trying to use Jahan Dotson last night. Unfortunately, I didn't have to use him. Hopefully, you didn't have to as well. This is why we draft for depth. This is the exact reason why I draft more wide receivers early than I technically need in my starting lineup, because stuff like this happens. And if you did that, you were likely really able to sustain the injury here, you know, and continue forward and hopefully pull out a victory this week. But that was really the big thing. Otherwise, I mean, kind of things look like they should have looked for the most part. Like Jalen Hurts is out there running. Bijan looked great. Drake London catches a touchdown. Saquon looks good. Devontae Smith catches a touchdown. The only thing I guess that would be at least some concern for people is Kyle Pitts. I'm not worried because the dude plays tight end. And the big thing here is the offense did take a step forward this week. Kirk Cousins looked a lot better than he did last week. And I don't think we've fully scratched the surface of what this Falcons offense can be. So, yeah, he's a tight end. This has not been a great start to the season for most tight ends. But I'm still staying the course with Kyle Pitts. So on the Tuesday podcast here, you know, usually quick thoughts on Monday Night Football. I'll break down the latest news and any sort of waiver wire implications, because yes, we're going to talk about Isaiah Pacheco here in a moment, but any waiver wire implications and then a quick top 10. Now there are technically 50 players listed in the waiver wire tool over at ftnfantasy.com right now. If I have to add anybody, I will. If I have to adjust the rankings, the ordering today and the fab recommendations, I will. I'll have that all in place. Like it'll be fully locked tonight when you go and put your waiver wire claims in, but any news that happens on a Tuesday, that's the cool thing about the tool. It's so easy for me to update as opposed to an article, which was a lot more difficult to update. So anyway, let's get into one of the biggest stories, that being Isaiah Pacheco. Jeremy Fowler reported yesterday that the expectation is 6 to 8 weeks with the fractured fibula. That would make a lot of sense because it was essentially about 8 weeks for Mark Andrews. This is a very similar injury to what Mark Andrews suffered last year. However, this timetable is not concrete because there is still the possibility that he has the surgery. If he has the surgery, that would push the timetable out potentially another month to 12 weeks. So we'd be looking in the 8 to 12 week range. And I don't know if you know the math here, but 12 weeks puts that past week 14. If we're past week 14, well, first and foremost, we're screwed because that is the end of the fantasy football regular season. We're looking at maybe the possibility of not even seeing Pacheco again until the fantasy postseason. You're not guaranteed to make the playoffs. I'm not guaranteed to make the playoffs. Nobody is guaranteed. Teams that are 2-0 right now are not guaranteed to make the playoffs. So that's why I always tend to focus on these first 14 weeks of the season. I know some leagues don't have playoffs if you're like a points only or an all play type league, or they have their playoffs starting in a different point. But majority of us, playoffs start in week 15 now. That means we have 14 weeks to play this thing out. After that, if we don't make the playoffs, our season's done. You know, it's over. So let's focus on that. And there is the reality that we may be without Pacheco for the remainder of the fantasy football regular season. Best case scenario, we're talking 6 weeks. We're talking like week eight, week nine, probably more like week 11 is the expectation, because I do think we're looking at more likely the latter, like the 8 week portion of the 6 to 8 weeks. But still, all right, so what do we do from here? You probably saw the news that the Chiefs are bringing in Kareem Hunt to visit today. They're kicking the tires on Kareem Hunt. He is a free agent, and of course, he's a free agent for a reason. Last season, he was one of the slowest players in the NFL at running back, and I'm not making this up. This is supported by Next Gen Stats. So last season, only two running backs had a lower top speed than Kareem Hunt. Those two, one of them is a Kansas City Chief right now, Samaje Perine. And the other is Chris Rodriguez Jr., who, you know, of course, was cut by the Washington Commanders in the, at roster cutdown. And as of right now, is he on their practice squad? I believe he is. Let me just double check. Yeah, he's on their practice squad. So he's not even on an active roster. That doesn't bode well for Kareem Hunt. What does bode well? He knows the offense. Like if he signs, if he shows that he's in good enough shape to play, and he signs with them, then, you know, obviously we have to completely change the evaluation for waivers in this backfield. Because as of right now, it looks like Carson Steele will be the primary ball carrier, with Perine doing work in passing down situations. That means Steele is a pretty good pickup, and I'll talk about him in a minute. I also will talk about Perine. But if Kareem Hunt signs, then we're talking something completely different here. Now, they could also... By the way, if you're listening to this, it's later on Tuesday, and Kareem Hunt, it's already reported that the visit is over and he hasn't signed. There's no news of him signing. He almost certainly won't sign. It's really rare for these guys to get out the building. Like if they come in, they work out, they show what they need to show, the team will offer him a contract right then. If they leave the building, they're going home, they're not signing in almost every instance. Another option for Kansas City would potentially to be to poach a player off of another practice squad, like Denerick Prince, who's on the Miami practice squad. You are allowed to do that as long as the player is not protected. You have to sign that player to the 53-man roster. You can't sign him to your own practice squad. So keep that in mind. There is, by the way, the possibility that Kareem Hunt is signed to the practice squad. So there's a lot of moving pieces there. The other issue, too, is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We don't know if he's going to come back in week 5. He's on the NFI list. He was dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. And, you know, I don't know. It's kind of uncharted territory with a player in this type of situation. Obviously, the most important thing for him is, you know, to be right on his end. But if he comes back in week 5, he could potentially be the lead back for a while. You know, we don't know. There's just so many moving pieces, and Andy Reid wasn't really forthcoming with this. So hopefully we'll get more news. Obviously, any news that comes out, like if Kareem Hunt is signed this afternoon, I will go back to waiver wire rankings in the waiver wire tool and update everything with new FAB percentages and, you know, ordering and all of that. So just keep your eyes peeled for that. But as of now, Carson Steele is the best bet. I'll get into the top 10. He is in the top 10. I'll get into the top 10 waiver ads in a moment. All right, so then let's go to Cooper Kupp. The report is that he will miss an extended period of time, is a candidate for IR. Wouldn't be surprised if he's placed on IR at any point here in the next day or two. If not, sometimes people will say, well, why isn't he placed on IR? And it's like a procedural thing by the team and they do it later in the week. Either way, he's not going to play for a while. And so the next man up is DeMarcus Robinson. Next man up after that is Tyler Johnson. And then the dart throw is Jordan Whittington. Can Whittington take the momentum from the preseason and continue that on here in the regular season? I don't have an answer for you right now. I don't know. But in moderately deeper leagues, he is worth a look, especially in leagues where Robinson was already added last week. Maybe Johnson's out. He's more widely available, but yeah, not a terrible move to pick up Whittington. We also obviously have added value here for Colby Parkinson, who has emerged as the primary pass-catching tight end. I didn't know what to think about that heading into the season, but he's proven to do a pretty nice job. He has that job until Tyler Higbee comes back. He may even hold it after that point. We'll see. but definitely more opportunity because Stafford's going to keep throwing the ball. Like, it's not like all of a sudden Stafford's going to turn into Malik Willis and just not throw the ball. He's going to throw the ball. So there's opportunity here for these guys. And I think that's an important thing just in general to note. There is opportunity in injury. Yes, it sucks. It really sucks if you have one or more of these guys who is, you know, now on injured reserve or is going to miss time like AJ Brown or Deebo Samuel, who I'll talk about in a moment. It sucks, but there's opportunity here. And I'll tell this story until I'm blue in the face. Last year I was in a home league. It's a super flex keeper league. Two of my three keepers in that league, and I've had them forever, are Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts. In the first round of the playoffs, I lost to a team who was devastated by injury. Like, the team was really well built out of the draft. Like, this guy's a really good drafter. He knows his stuff. And he had Justin Jefferson. He had Kirk Cousins. Like, it looked amazing from the jump. Because remember, Jefferson and Cousins got off to a crazy good start last year. And obviously, he lost Cousins midway through the season. He lost Jefferson for a huge chunk of the season. And it wasn't just those guys. He was decimated by injuries. But he didn't complain. You know, he didn't whine. He didn't woe was me. He just went and just kept working waivers. And this dude beat me in the playoffs with Joe Flacco and Jake Browning. I had Hurts and Mahomes. He had those guys I lost. And I don't even think it was close. I'd have to go back and look at the box score, but I'm pretty sure he destroyed me. Not how he drew it up, but it just goes to show you, if you keep playing this game, you play to the whistle, you can survive injuries. You definitely can. Now, it helps when you land Joe Flacco in that magical run, and Jake Browning was not bad whatsoever, but you can do that. I can do it. We can all do that as we work through the season. And it just goes to show you as well that the team that you draft isn't going to be the team that you win a championship with. Now, this guy didn't win the championship. He ended up finishing second in the league, but still pretty freaking awesome considering all the injuries. But you win a championship, those aren't all the guys you drafted. Now, some of them are, but your waiver ads, maybe trades during the course of the season will impact your roster. So if you're hit by these injuries, you're not alone. It happens every single year, and just keep on playing, man. Just keep on playing. All right, let's talk Deebo. He's going to miss a few weeks, according to Kyle Shanahan. Yay. Oh. Now, fortunately, their bye is not in week five. It's a little bit further down the lane. So I think when he says a few weeks, I would expect two as the, you know, at least two, maybe more, but let's hope it's just two. So possibly a week five return there for Deebo Samuel. It'll help Brandon Ayuk. It's Brandon Ayuk right now and George Kittle as the primary targets. Like, if you have Kittle, you're in a really good spot. We saw it last week. He blew up, and I think that's going to continue going forward. There may be some Juwan Jennings deep league value here, but otherwise, you know, we're just wait and see on Deebo. Remember, Christian McCaffrey, that could be a lot longer than the 4 weeks. I know a lot of people are just expecting, oh, 4 weeks and done. Nah. I mean, this could be a 6 to 8 week absence for him as well. So this really, it's been rough. We're still awaiting news on Joe Mixon. I'll have more on that, obviously, on Thursday. Just a reminder, on Wednesdays during the week, I do the FTN Fantasy podcast. So, I mean, it's just me. It's largely this with different music. But you have to listen over there to get the Wednesday show from yours truly. But anyway, I'll have more updates later in the week here on Joe Mixon. Let's see. Tua. Mike McDaniel told reporters yesterday he's currently unsure as to whether or not Tua is going to go on injured reserve. Usually I find that even if the possibility is brought up that he's probably going to be on injured reserve. As of now, Skylar Thompson will start this week. If you need a starter in your Superflex leagues, I wouldn't look to him first. I'd look to Andy Dalton first, or just take a peek and see if Gardner Minshew is out there. But you could do worse than, you know, Skylar Thompson. And remember, my advice in Superflex, I'm always starting a quarterback, even if it's Skylar Thompson, in that Superflex spot, because the quarterbacks have the greatest chance of putting up, you know, the most points in Superflex leagues in that spot. So that's why I'm using, you know, people are always like, oh, you don't have Superflex rankings. It's like, yeah, because it would be my quarterback rankings as the first 32 players or however many in a bye week, and then my flex rankings. I'm always starting the quarterback in that super flex spot. So anyway, the team signed Snoop Huntley from the Ravens practice squad. He could potentially be a starter here. We don't know. Like, there's a lot of things that could happen with Tua. The range of outcomes goes from Tua being back as early as maybe next week or week five to Tua being on injured reserve and missing at least four games, if not more, to Tua potentially retiring. Like, there is a greater than 0% chance that he retires. I know, I'm sure I can't really speak for Tua, but I'm sure he probably doesn't want to. The dude loves football, but he could retire. You know, there's so many different things that could play out here. So, of course, if you drafted him, it sucks. If you have Tyreek Hill, if you have Jaylen Waddle, this is not that good. Obviously, their value goes down. But is it just a short-term thing? Is it a long-term thing? We're not quite sure just yet. But we do know that it is a week three thing. That's for sure. Evan Ingram will be week to week with this hamstring issue. So, you know, have a different plan in place. I'm fortunate here. Now, I just didn't like the overall outlook for Evan Ingram. That's why I didn't have him in the tight end wheelhouse range. But I know a lot of people ended up drafting him. So hopefully you weren't caught holding the bag there. But, you know, there's Hunter Henry, Mike Gesicki. Like, you have streamer options this week who are going to be available on waivers if you happen to have drafted Evan Ingram. Let's see. Anything else here? T. Higgins trending towards playing. We're not sure about Jordan Love this week as well. But those, I think, are probably the biggest things that are impacting us for waivers for this week. So speaking of waivers, let's get into it. I'm just going to zip through the top 10. If you want the entire list, remember ftnfantasy.com in the waiver wire tool. So I have all the potential waiver ads for the week for me with a little blurb about them. It's just a short little like sentence. It's not even a full sentence in some instances, but just a little note so you kind of know why they are where they are. I have a fab recommendation. Now remember, your fab should be determined by your league tendencies, not by what I say in the table. So if you know you could go a little under to get a player, then do it. If your league is very, you know, kind of frugal with their, you know, with their fab money. If your league spends a lot, you might have to go above if you really want to get that player. But it's very, very important to know league tendencies. I also have rostership for ESPN and Yahoo. Some dude was asking me on Twitter today why I don't have CBS. I don't have a feed to get that, unfortunately. If I had a feed to get that, I would include it too. Same thing with Sleeper. Sleeper would probably be the next on the list for me. If I can get that information and I can do so easily, I'll add it to the tool. But as of right now, ESPN and Yahoo give you a pretty good sense of availability, right? Pretty good sense there. So anyway, first on the list for me this week is Rashid Shaheed. I ended up grabbing him last week, and I'm glad I did. And it's not necessarily because of the long touchdowns. I mean, that's a nice bonus, but he's playing an every down role in what looks to be a very potent offense. I'd go 15 to 20% in fab on him. Can we start him just yet? Maybe. It depends on who else you have, but I want guys like this on rosters. You know, having depth, especially at wide receiver, is very, very important. So he could be some added depth. He's 55% available on ESPN, 37% on Yahoo available. Zach Charbonnet, 15 to 20% on him as well. He barely made the list, but he's rostered in 62% of leagues on ESPN and 69%. Nice on Yahoo. I don't know how long Walker is going to be out, but even if he's back this week, like, Charbonnet needs to be rostered in all leagues. He is both a real and an implied value guy. So when Walker's back, there's going to be a role for Charbonnet. It'll be more hit or miss. It'll be like a desperation flex type role, but there is at least real value. And then we just saw the implied value become real value this past week when he took over as the lead back and ended up putting up like RB2 plus numbers, depending on your league scoring system. So he should be rostered across the board. All right, number three, DeMarcus Robinson, 15 to 20%. He's now wide receiver one for the Rams. He is the top target. Somebody on Twitter was asking me, like, does he actually fit Cooper Kupp's role or Puka Nacua's role, or does his role not change? And I said, well, his role is not going to change very likely here. And that's okay. It's not about the role that is going to generate the targets. It's the skill level, really, that's why Kupp and Nacua were the ones who were dominating, because they're both really stinking good. But DeMarcus Robinson, now when you look at the remaining wide receivers, is the best of the bunch, showed nice rapport with Matthew Stafford down the stretch last year, and should benefit here. You know, is he going to be a starter caliber guy? I mean, again, depends on your roster, but I could see him. I have not done rankings yet. I could see him coming in as a wide receiver three or better this week. He won't be, I really doubt that he's a top 20 guy, but there's opportunity there for Demarcus Robinson. All right. Tentatively at number four, I have Carson Steele. 10 to 15% on him. He's widely available, as we know. If things stand as they currently do, no Kareem Hunt on the roster, no timetable on return for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, then yes, Carson Steele is going to be the primary early down back. That role will not be exactly what Pacheco had. Pacheco was a three down back. You know, he was catching the ball in the backfield. That changed for him last year, and then it continued into this year. What I think we could see for Carson Steele, though, is a role like Pacheco's in his rookie season. Not catching the ball a lot out of the backfield. That would be Samaje Perine. And, you know, really just being the early down runner. But early down runner in this offense could be 15 plus carries a week for Carson Steele. Could be every single goal line look for Carson Steele. So there is some appeal here, and they did go to him when Pacheco left the game. So I'm not going overboard. There might be somebody who goes overboard. If somebody wants to spend 75% on Carson Steele, let him. You know, will it be a league winner? I don't think so. I mean, I can't say for certain, but let him. I'm not going too overboard with him this week. You know, even if I'm really desperate, I can't spend that much of my fab. You know, if you're really, really desperate, you could bump the fab numbers up. Like, it's just a suggested range by me, but you could always bump it up if you really wanted to go get him and you knew where you essentially had to spend in order to get him. Darnell Mooney at 5, 10 to 15% there. Weird. He's like widely rostered in ESPN. He's barely rostered on Yahoo. It's strange how that works out, but he was busy on Monday night, 3 for 88 and a touchdown. We know that big play upside that he offers. And if the offense continues to make progress as it looks like it is, he's going to have his fair share of wide receiver three or better weeks, which, again, just trying to stockpile that depth. Even if I don't need starting talent, if I have some guys on a bench that, you know, are just wasting space there, I'd rather fill it with somebody like Darnell Mooney or, like I said, Rashid Shaheed as well. If you have a lot of implied value running backs, these are running backs who do not have real value right now. They would need their starter to go down in order to have, like, somebody like, Tank Bigsby has a little bit of real value, but mostly it's implied. Somebody like Bucky Irving, you know, little bit of real, but mainly implied. I don't want to have too many of those guys on a bench because I know what happens with those guys. And I don't know if you know this is what happens, but here's what happens. Fantasy managers will cycle those guys all season, chasing last week and missing future events because they already cycled past an implied value running back. In other words, he's not on their team when he has his next big game. That whole musical chairs routine, I don't find it particularly productive. So often I really don't roster. I'll have maybe one of those implied guys, but I'm not. I see a lot of people with benches. They have six bench spots. They have three implied value running backs, a quarterback, a tight end, and a wide receiver. And it's like, ooh, you're really hurting yourself at wide out there. You're really hurting yourself. Remember, basically all of us start more wideouts than any other position. So something to keep in mind. Speaking of wideouts, a couple more for you here. Quentin Johnston, the next man up, 5 to 10%. He's widely available. Yes, he scored the two touchdowns. He did lead the way in targets. Now, heading into this season, we had no clue whether it was going to be Quentin Johnston or Ladd McConkey or Josh Palmer or at one point DJ Chark, although we know it's not going to be him now because he's on IR. But we had no clue. And there was an opportunity there. And we saw McConkey score in week one. Now it was Johnston. Is this going to be a week-to-week thing where we just don't know? Or did they finally figure it out a little bit with Quentin Johnston? I don't know. And that's part of the reason why I'm only at 5 to 10%. Like if you said right now, Jeff, Quentin Johnston is going to emerge as the clear number one wide receiver. And even in a run heavy offense, like it's not going to be a massive season, but say he has like a quasi breakout season. Well, then, yeah, I would spend 25 to 50% on him, but we can't say that for certain right now. So that's why I'm going a little bit conservative. I know people will chase last week's numbers. You know, that thing that I always talk about, don't just sort by last week's points scored or by this week's projected points when you make waiver wire claims, because everybody does that. And, you know, you can miss players. You could also get a false sense of a player's production. Let's call it the Alan Lazard effect, right? Here it is. The year of our Lord, 2024, on September 17th, we just coined the Alan Lazard effect. But last week, people had a false sense of what Lazard was because they just looked at how many fantasy points he scored and ran out and tried to pick him up. You know, I think that we really need to do a little bit more than that. So, you know, again, like things like the waiver wire tool will help you out on that front. All right, next guy is Tyler Johnson. Again, I'm going 5 to 10% here. He should be the number two wide receiver target, at least in the short term here for the Rams. Mike Williams at 8, 5 to 10%. Fairly widely available on Yahoo, not as much on ESPN as he is on Yahoo. But the reason why I'm interested here is we did see his role increase, and I think it's only a matter of time before Rodgers gets Williams involved in the red area of the field, and he should quickly leapfrog the aforementioned Alan Lazard. All right, Samaje Perine at 9. Again, this could change if we get a Kareem Hunt signing, but as of now, he'd be the passing down back. We've seen him be a three down back. Like he was, you know, in relief duty for Joe Mixon at points in his time with the Cincinnati Bengals. But again, when they had the opportunity to give it the ball to him, they actually gave it to Carson Steele last week. So that is worth noting. And then finally, Derek Carr makes the list here, 5 to 10%. I'm not going overboard on Derek Carr. It has been an excellent start to the season for him, but he also hasn't had to throw the ball a ton. Having said that, he also does have a very nice matchup coming up this week against Philadelphia. I moved Carr up to QB 15 in my rest of season rankings. Those are up there at ftnfantasy.com as well. And I know that a lot of people do like to use those when they make waiver claims. So, you know, if you were in a situation where like it was like Tua, yeah, you could pick up Derek Carr. If you're going to drop Jordan Love for him, I'd be a lot more reluctant to do that. I still have Love ahead in rest of season rankings ahead of Derek Carr. So I wouldn't be cutting bait on Love for Carr. So it can be pretty helpful there. But yeah, I mean, so far, so good for Derek Carr. So there's your top 10. I do have 50 players, including 4 different defensive streamers in here as well. Somebody had asked me, well, how do you know whether to cut bait on a team defense or not? I would say look at their opponent. You know, look at their opponent for this week. If it's a very potent offense, then I would move on. If it's not, then you can keep going, right? If they have a nice matchup, obviously you're going to keep going, but I would use that. You can also use my weekly rankings to help you out on that front. And of course, they go up a little bit later in the afternoon on Tuesdays at ftnfantasy.com for, you know, week 3. They'll be up later in the afternoon today. Let me quickly stop by the email account here, therantpodjr@gmail.com. Had a couple here. So Nicholas, his subject is Raiders double dip. He said, quick question. He had an auction where he had Devontae at a discount, ended up getting Bowers for $1, thinking other teams would bid on him. Yeah. Yeah. When you nominate a guy and nobody bids on him, you get him for the dollar. he said, essentially, so far, so good. And would I continue to ride this train? I mean, as of right now, yeah. I mean, this is the roster you built. They're both going to be very active. This is number one and number two target in that offense. And I think you're fine. It's just something to note, like when you get to that range where it's lower bidding, like early on, if you put up a player, like you put up Breece Hall, guess what? That the bid rockets up like very quickly. You know, I won't put Breece Hall up for a dollar. I'll put him in for like 30, and then you start from there, right? Just to get it going. But when you're in that range where some of these guys could go for a dollar, you have to be very careful with who you nominate, and you really should only be nominating players who you personally would be okay getting. So something to note there for auctions going forward. But yeah, I would just keep these guys. As of right now, you know, it looks like it's going to work out. And I think Minshew does enough to help them sustain value. All right. Corey also checked in draft strategy to roster management. He said he's followed for several years and he's won 2 league championships. Congratulations, Corey. Appreciate you, man. This season, he went safe and upside, took Goff and Lawrence. He said, I know we drafted these guys for a reason, but when do we consider cutting bait? He's asking about Derek Carr. So Derek Carr, again, like, I mean, we can look to rest of season rankings if you'd like. I don't have any issue with Jared Goff. That's for sure. So here, let me pull up rest of season rankings to help us out here. So right now, over at FTNFantasy.com, fully updated for today, the rankings for these guys. So as I said, Carr is QB 15. Let's see. Trevor Lawrence is 17. So it's kind of like a lateral move. Jared Goff is 12. So I don't think there's any major reason to make a move here. You know, we don't want to necessarily chase last week's points. We still want to project forward. So when do we cut bait on these guys? Usually for me, it's about a month on the upside guy. I think you're still fine with Jared Goff, by the way. Still fine. But if Lawrence doesn't turn a corner here in the first month of the season, then I would move on from him. I'm not quite sure that this production is sustainable for Derek Carr. Just again, given how little he's been throwing the ball, he's been very efficient, very effective, but how sustainable is it? So that's why it's a big upgrade on where he was ranked in draft season, but it's still somewhat of a conservative viewpoint of him being more of a front end QB2, like fringy quarterback one option. I've said many times Derek Carr is this generation's Philip Rivers, in that, you know, you look down at the end of the season and somehow Carr ends up finishing in like QB12, even though along the way it was kind of boring. It hasn't been boring so far, but if that's what you're looking for, it feels, those moves feel lateral to me though. All right. therantpodjr@gmail.com. Remember, I'm not here on this feed tomorrow. Go over to the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast feed, subscribe to that. You'll get me once a week over there. And then of course, we'll be back here on Thursday. We're already rolling, man. Week 3 is here. Follow me on Twitter @JeffRatcliffe and on Instagram, where my wife is right, I'm never going to hit 10,000 followers @JeffRatcliffe. Otherwise, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.